Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
And our special guest today is Diane Hurd, the General Services Administration's Public Building Service Chief Information Officer. Diane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason.
Well, I know we've been trying to do this since, I think, January when I first put in the request to your press office, so I'm very excited to have you on because I've talked to Casey Coleman, I've talked to Liz Del Negro over in FAS, so now it's your turn to come on our show and talk about PBS. I think there's you guys are doing a lot of really fun stuff. So let's start with some basics. The mission of the Public Building Service, I think a lot of people think about it as the people who, you know, collect the rent from other agencies for their buildings, but I don't think people really know just how wide and varied your mission is. So give us some perspective in terms of what PBS does.
The PBS mission is to provide civilian federal employees with sustainable workspace so that they can carry out their mission. Just to give you an idea of our size, we are one of the largest real estate companies in the country. We have a portfolio of over 360 million square feet of space in 9,000 federally owned and leased spaces, and we house over 1 million federal workers nationwide. Our mission is to lease, build, maintain, manage, and dispose of properties. Let's see, we also have about 480 historical properties, and we have a robust arts and architecture and fine arts program. We do a lot.
You do, and I didn't realize 1 million federal employees nationwide.
Yes, over 1 million.
That's incredible, because if you think about the entire federal government is what, 2 million or so when you look at, you know, all the civilian agencies?
I believe so.
And you guys, I didn't realize you guys accounted for that much. Now, you're the CIO of this, so that means your role is to obviously make sure the technology works in many different respects. And I know from past stories that I've done, there's a lot of challenges around the historical properties. So let's talk about your work as CIO and how do you support the mission of the Public Building Service?
Well, I'm responsible for maintaining the 50 national PBS systems that support our business. I'm also responsible for the data center in which the systems run. We have a very robust IT security program, as well as a resource center that provides services very similar to FedEx, or Baby Kinko's, as I always like to call it.
And so it sounds like most of the work you're doing is kind of in the back office versus external facing, or do you also make sure that there's support for some of the external facing customers?
Oh, absolutely. One of the biggest initiatives we've got going on currently is smart buildings. We're working with our facility management office to provide building automation systems and advanced metering systems to ensure that our federal buildings run as efficiently and as effectively as possible. We actually have the ability these days to hook up pretty much every component within a building, from the lighting, from the HVAC system, to the security cameras, and we can control it from within the building, or we could literally control it thousands of miles away.
That's fascinating. I know the smart buildings is a huge priority both for this administration, but also more broadly for GSA. We hear a lot about how Administrator Johnson talks about how GSA can be that test bed for others and say, look, we can do this, other people can do this. I'm sure you're right in the middle of that to be part of that test bed, to that environment. From your perspective, has that been a really fun part of the job?
Actually, I think that's been the funnest part of my job lately. I really enjoy smart buildings and looking at the technology that's available today that we can offer to our customers.
Are you seeing customers, and now I know you're maybe not on the customer side as much, but are you seeing agencies or even offices saying, yeah, I want that, you know, come help me understand how this works?
More and more we are. I think in the beginning it was kind of difficult for them to understand how it could actually help them reduce their carbon footprint, but now that they're learning more about the technology, we are getting a lot more questions about it than we have in the past.
Now, typically CIOs in your position and people that I talk to, they know, you know, IT security, they know databases, and they know enterprise architecture, the as is to the 2B. How have you learned the smart building piece?
I was very fortunate. About 5 years ago, I went to my first RealCom conference. Are you familiar with RealCom?
I'm not. Tell us about what that is.
RealCom is sort of like the IT side of BOMA. Are you familiar with BOMA?
BOMA, yes.
Okay.
Tell me what it stands for, because I remember it.
Building Operation Maintenance Association. So RealCom basically capitalizes or looks at the IT side of the house, how you make these buildings more automated. how you collect information about the buildings to help them run more efficiently and effectively. And I've been going for the last 5 years. And in fact, this year, GSA won what they call a Digi Award, a very prestigious award because of our work in smart buildings.
Which building was that for specifically?
Actually, it was just for the entire program.
Oh, okay, neat. Just in fact, the fact is that you guys have pushed this out so far and are doing so much with it.
Right. We're also doing a lot with it through our Recovery Act, the funding that we received for recovery.
Oh, sure. GSA got like $5
billion. $5
billion,
yes.
How's that spending going? Is that, do you get to
well,
see a lot of
that? Well, the obligations are going very well, and we hope to have all $5 million obligated by September 30th of this year.
All right, something that I'm going to follow up with GSA separately on. I know that's not necessarily your area. But real quick, talk about your office a little bit. How's it set up in terms of federal employees versus contract employees? What's your IT budget? And then you, not realizing how big your office, in terms of how big public building services, you must support through network and other technology a lot of those employees. How's your network configured, centralized, decentralized, hybrid? Give us some of those basics.
All right. Well, we're over 100 federal employees and contract employees. We have an annual budget of $180 million per year, and that is used to maintain, develop, and implement our 50 national systems. We have a PBS portal, which allows a single sign-on to those, well, to most of the 50 systems. We're working on the rest. We're also working with Casey Coleman, the GSA CIO, to provide single sign-on across GSA using our HSPD-12 cards.
And that was exactly my next question, because single sign-on, you think about it, and you think about logical access control, and are you guys using HSPD-12 for most of those 50 systems?
Well, currently, to log on to our computers every morning, we have to use our HSPD-12 and a pen to get into our computers. What we're working on now is taking that a step further so that will actually get you in to whatever applications you need to do your job.
And the beauty of that, obviously, is you can deal with roles and responsibilities based on your job. So if you can only have access to these 5 applications because that's what you need to do your job, that all can be done through that logical access control.
Absolutely.
We may get into your priorities in a little bit, but how far away are you guys from actually taking that step further?
Well, I think we're probably 6 months to a year away. There's actually some systems that probably won't be converted because they're slated for retirement. It's also a little complicated because it's not just the PBS systems, it's the FAS systems as well as the CFO systems and the CPO systems. So we're talking about across-the-board GSA.
Okay, so this is obviously separate than just what PBS is doing. This is obviously, as you said, GSA-wide.
Right, it's GSA-wide. I need to modify the PBS systems to accept the credential, but so does all the other parts of GSA so that we can use one credential across the board.
Okay. Wow, you just give me, there's lots of good stuff to follow up with. That's very exciting. I haven't had Casey on in a while, so maybe I'll have to, in about 6 months, bug her to come back on the show as well. One thing you didn't talk about was you said about 50 systems. Are these mainly centralized from a network perspective, or are they decentralized, or is there kind of a hybrid going on?
The 50 national systems are centralized and run in our data center in Chantilly, Virginia. We also have approximately 250 regional systems that are decentralized.
So that does that add a lot of complications for you as CIO to make sure that they're both secure and up and running?
Absolutely.
And can you talk a little bit about what are some of those challenges?
Well, it's just ensuring that all the systems follow the GSA standards, policies, and procedures, particularly the security policies. We don't want to reveal any data that we should not reveal. We don't want that available to the public. At the same time, we do want to make anything that's transparent to the public, and we've been putting our data out on data.gov as well.
Is there any kind of thought yet about moving some of those 250 regional systems to make them more centralized, where maybe you'll just run them through a cloud setup or just a web interface?
Well, one of the major initiatives that we currently have underway is replacing our inventory system. This is our inventory of leased and owned properties. We actually had a contest to name that system, and the name of the system or the winning selection was REXIS, Real Estate Across the United States. Once this comes live next year, it will actually replace several or many of those regional applications.
All right, sounds like we just got into the next question.
Yes.
About priorities. So we're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we'll talk maybe more about REXIS. Is that great?
That's correct.
All right, we'll talk more about REXIS, and then we'll talk about some of the other things you're working on. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Diane Hurd, the General Services Administration's Public Building Service Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Diane Hurd, the GSA Public Building Service Chief Information Officer. Now, Diane, before break, we talked a little bit about your office, the way it's set up, the role you play as CIO of the Public Building Service, and then we got into a little bit of your first major initiative, what you're calling REXIS, Real Estate Across the U.S., Now, that's a program that's going to consolidate, you said, several or many of the regional applications. And what's the status of that? Has a contract been awarded? Has work already started? Or are we just in the beginning stages?
The contract was awarded to ITS approximately a year ago, and we're well underway. We've got a very good project team from across the United States working on it. And as I said, we hope to go live into production next year this time.
So in a year, there's a lot to do over the next year. Obviously, it's taking regional systems and consolidating them. So you're going to go region by region?
Taking our major flagship application, which is currently called STAR, which is the inventory of our own and leased properties, and replacing it and providing, in doing so, we will also replace several of the regional applications.
So it won't necessarily be rolled out region by region. It may just come up.
Right. It'll come up nationally.
Okay, which is great because I think people, they can see the benefits they'll get right away. Talk about some of your other priorities. What do you hope to accomplish over the next 6 or 9 months or so?
Well, on the people front, we're really looking at telework and hoteling. Martha Johnson has given us the goal to reduce our carbon footprint and to reduce the amount of space that we currently have. So has Bob Peck, the commissioner of PBS. So we're looking at tools and technology that will allow us to work, telework outside of the office, as well as hoteling when we're here in the office.
All right. Obviously, that's always a popular one. A lot of people are focusing on telework. How are you guys doing telework now? How do you see it changing, over the next year?
Well, I think we're going to be more lenient with the number of days that we allow people to telework. I think we're also going to reduce the amount of space. In other words, if you telework at home or somewhere else 2 to 3 days a week, then you need to give up your desk here so that when you come into the office, you only have a hoteling suite as opposed to a desk and the cubicle associated with it.
Now, a lot of people, when you talk about telework, they talk about the two main barriers. They talk about manager resistance, and they talk about technology. Obviously, you probably have a little bit of both in terms of you're both a manager and the person in charge of the technology, not that you're resisting it. Talk a little about from the technology perspective. How are you ensuring security? How are you ensuring that people have access to what they need?
Well, pretty much every one of our employees has a laptop, which is set up with the GSA standard configuration, which includes the security necessary, as well as a BlackBerry. We also require our people who are teleworking to be on instant messaging so that we can reach them, within a matter of moments if need be. We're also looking for other software that we can use to collaborate across GSA, across PBS.
Now, obviously, a lot of the, we'll get to it in a little bit, but a lot of the IT modernization work that Casey Coleman's doing across all of GSA may help with that, and I know we'll maybe talk about that later on in the interview. Is that also part of that discussion in terms of telework, in terms of what potential technologies are coming from that modernization?
Oh, absolutely. We worked very closely with Casey on the IT SLAM, which brought us up to date with the Office 2007, as well as VoIP. It upgraded the network. It upgraded remote access. which is really providing much more capabilities for the people to work at home.
Okay, which is the huge barrier around telework, as we talked about, is that they have the right technology, right security, and you guys seem to be putting that in place both through this IT modernization. And obviously, from your perspective, both as a manager and as an IT person, things are working as they should.
Yes. And in fact, you mentioned the management side of it. We're actually sending our managers to training to learn how to properly manage virtual employees.
I think that's the one piece that's a lot of times you hear is missing from that. You know, well, we give them internet access, we give them a laptop, but then the manager, but I need to see you. When are you coming in the office? You know, you that piece of that sometimes left out. So it's very interesting that you guys are actually doing that training piece. Was that a fairly easy decision to make, meaning, yeah, we got to do this because it's important? Or was that something that was has developed over time where maybe one or two people went and you saw such a big benefit you wanted to send more?
We felt it was important. We wanted to make sure that our managers had the skills that they needed to supervise their employees from a distance. So we looked around for some training classes, and we found one that we'll be taking next month.
All right, very good. Again, this is I think that's fascinating. I think more agencies need to know that those not only exist, but that people actually are using them. Another big priority at GSA that when I was doing some research, and I think for a lot of agencies are seeing the same thing, is the data center consolidation and optimization of its usage. Can you talk a little bit about how PBS is helping to shape GSA's vision as well as the rest of the governments? Because you guys do so much from the, as you said, the smart building perspective.
Yes, GSA currently has approximately 8 data centers across the nation, and my office led the GSA effort to look at data center consolidation. We're currently putting together a plan to reduce those 8 locations to 1 or 2 locations as contracts begin to expire and as leases expire. For example, our data center in Chantilly, Virginia is a leased space. It's a 10-year leased space. So we're looking at consolidating towards the end of that lease. FAS has some data centers that are outsourced, contracted out, and we'll be looking at consolidating those as those contracts expire.
As far as data center optimization as well, are you guys helping with that smart building piece in terms of make sure that the air conditioning, doesn't need to run at 50 degrees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Are you guys helping with that piece, or is that kind of out?
No, we're helping with that piece as well, which leads right into the green IT. The data centers don't have to be as cold as they used to be or as cold as we thought they had to be. We're also looking at energy-saving settings on our computers as well as our VoIP phones.
Very interesting, because I think that one of the things that people always point to when you talk about data center consolidation is that, the low-hanging fruit of, okay, well, are they optimally being used? A lot of times you hear, a lot of servers are only being used at 15% capacity or 20% capacity. From a PBS perspective, you guys maybe aren't looking at that piece, but you're looking at the building piece, which is, again, the air conditioning and, as you said, the green IT. Now, when I looked at your guys' strategic plan, discuss the green IT and the role PBS is playing in terms of the strategy that GSA is helping to develop.
Our administrator, Martha Johnson, has set the goal. We call it our moonshot. It's a zero environmental footprint. We're looking at reducing our carbon footprint. We're also looking for sustainability for the president's executive order to reduce energy. My office is looking for tools and technology to support Eleni Reed, our chief greening officer for PBS, and her efforts there. Another one of Commissioner Peck's initiatives is to streamline the number of IT tools and technologies that we use across the regions. One of the efforts that supports this is our EPM project. This is our electronic project management project, which will be the single project management tool for all of PBS. Currently, we're just using it on our capital construction projects, but we want to begin to use it on our leasing projects as well as our small projects and major renovation projects.
And I know it's probably gotten a ton of use over the last year and a half with the Recovery Act and, $5 billion coming through it. Is that part of the reason why you're seeing, wow, this really works well, we can expand the use of it?
Yes. Every recovery project that we did are doing is in EPM.
And I probably realize that project management is one of those things that people have so much trouble with across government. Can you just give us a little sense of how the system works?
Well, it's primarily a scheduling tool as well as the budget associated with the schedule as well as deliverables across the board for each one of the steps that we're going through in a capital construction project. So that ultimately it'd be great that the customer could have access to the tool so that they could see exactly where GSA is with the project.
And is that something you guys are working toward, or is that more of a...
We actually have several customers already connected to EPM, and we hope to increase that number. we think eventually we could have about 8,000 users of EPN.
Wow, I'm sure that if it's getting that much use within PBS, this is something that probably other agencies would probably be interested in as well, knowing that project management is such a challenge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any conversations yet with other agencies, or is it still premature?
As I said, we actually have several of our customer agencies hooked up to EPN today, and more are expressing interest. So, yes, we've had numerous conversations.
And obviously tools, you talk about tools, and obviously people are always interested in tools, especially when you talk about green IT and greening of government. What kind of tools are you looking at, and are you looking to buy them, to develop them, or to borrow them from other agencies?
We're mainly looking at advanced metering tools. We're looking at buying them wherever possible, although we're certainly open to developing tools that will allow us to track how much energy we're saving.
And I know that's a huge area. I know GSA has been developing that carbon footprint tool for the rest of the government. I think that's something that's coming out of the Federal Acquisition Service. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk some more about technology and some of the things you're looking at. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Diane Hurd, the GSA Public Building Service Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Diane Hurd, the General Services Administration's Public Building Service Chief Information Officer. Now, Diane, before break, we talked about your priorities. Telework is a big one. We talked about green IT. Now, a lot of the green IT falls into the category of kind of the cutting edge, leading edge technologies. But when we talk about this, let's talk about maybe even cloud computing, thin clients, even Web 2.0, which doesn't seem like such cutting edge, leading edge anymore. But I think for many agencies, it still is. How are you considering those and other technologies to put to use in PBS?
Well, again, we're working very closely with Casey Coleman, the GSA CIO. We're actually looking to move our email system to the cloud. We have a procurement on the street now, which we hope to award by the end of September and migrate by the end of December. This will be not only our email, but our instant messaging, collaboration software. I'm not sure what the people have bid because I'm not part of the evaluation team, but we're looking forward to that. Very exciting. We also have a lot of offices currently using Twitter and Facebook and Yammer. More and more information is out there about PBS as well as GSA. I've just noticed more this weekend.
I know the email solicitation, when GSA put that out, got a lot of interest, not only both from the vendor community, but from other agencies to see how that's going to happen. You said you're not a part, obviously, of the evaluation team, so you're not really sure where you are in the progress. But what's that going to take for you within PBS to eventually move email to the cloud?
Well, I think the primary thing will be making sure that people are trained properly, depending on how different this email system will be from our current email. There'll also be some work involved in transferring archives, emails that they want to transfer from the current email system to the new email system. And once we know who the winning vendor is, we'll look for tools to support us on that.
And I know that the collaboration piece of that is very key. When I was reading through the RFQ that came out, there was a lot. It wasn't just, oh, let's do email. It's all about the collaboration make it easier to communicate in several different platforms.
Correct.
From a cloud computing standpoint, are you guys looking at cloud for any of the other data services? The Rexis, for instance, is there an opportunity there to move to cloud?
Not currently, but it's something that we will definitely consider. I think we want to see how the email situation goes first, and then we will look at other opportunities.
I know a lot of people are taking that kind of, what's a crawl, walk, run perspective with cloud, because there's lots of the security issue. I think there's a lot of concerns around that too. Is that something you guys obviously are paying very close attention to? Do you, as a CIO, have a lot of concern about cloud and security?
I do. Casey has her security officer on the evaluation, and it was one of our primary concerns that any email system that we go to is secure.
You talked a lot about the work you guys are doing with cutting-edge technology. You talked about some of the priorities. Vendors are always interested in understanding how CIOs like to work. What should vendors know about working with the Public Building Service?
Well, they should know that there's a great deal of work in PBS. I mentioned the Recovery Act earlier. We're greening many of our federal buildings, and by the end of September, we hope to have the $5 million obligated. We also have a division within PBS, which is known as our Industry Relations Division. Their primary mission is to work with vendors, to explain to them how to do business with PBS and what's available, what business is coming down the road. They also use Twitter and LinkedIn to provide this information to the vendors as well.
Now, from a CIO's perspective, how do you like to be, when vendors want to come and offer their services to you as the CIO of the technology, do you like to be approached by email? Are you a big in-person interview? Do you have kind of a deputy who handles a lot of the industry stuff? Talk about, from your perspective, what you like to work with, how you like to work with vendors.
Well, I get a great number of requests through email, and that seems to work the best, and we schedule them as we can. It's kind of impossible for me to meet with every single one of them, but we do schedule the ones that we're most interested in, and we always keep their information on file because you're never quite sure what PBS will be doing next, and what might not have been important today will be important later.
And from a RFP future perspective, are there any ones that you can talk about in terms of that people should look out for in the next, 3, 6, 9 months?
I really can't think of any major procurement that's coming down the road at this time. Really, we're trying to close out fiscal year 2010. We are exercising options for the next fiscal year, but I can't think of any new procurements that are coming down the road right now.
All right, well, that may help you in terms of the number of calls you get from vendors. We are unfortunately almost out of time, so let's talk a little bit about your background. You've been with PBS for how long? Talk a little bit about how you got to PBS, how long you've worked there, and where else have you worked, inside of government or outside of government?
Well, I worked at the Department of Commerce for 2 years, but the rest of my career, the 30-plus years, have been at GSA. Worked my way up the ladder. I was at one point in the GSA CIO office and ran the Corporate Information Network. I've been in PBS for about the last 10 years as the deputy CIO, and now I was appointed as CIO in 2007.
Obviously, it's a big change for you. Anytime you kind of get promoted to that CIO role, it's a big change. Has this been kind of one of the better jobs, best job you've set in your 30-plus years at GSA, or how would you rate it?
I would rate it as the best job.
Because?
Because every day is new and exciting. There's always new things happening. I have a great working relationship with Casey Coleman and Liz Del Negro. We're really a good team, and I just truly enjoy it.
And, a lot of people look at CIOs and they go, oh, my God, they must work 80 hours a week, and all they do is worry about their security and technology. Give us when you're not a CIO, what else do you do? Like give us the last great book you read or the last great vacation you went on.
Well, I love to travel. I absolutely love to travel. I'd like to do more of it, and I'm looking forward to doing more of it. Although sometimes it is hard to get away.
Where was the last place you went?
The last place I went, well, maybe not the last place, but one of the greatest places I went was Russia. I went to St. Petersburg and Moscow. That was not too long ago, and I truly enjoyed it. It is a different world.
And hopefully not during the winter, because the winter can be brutal.
No, I went in the summer. I went in June. That was nice.
Well, very good. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm so glad you're able to finally come on a show. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Diane Hurd, the General Services Administration's Public Building Services Chief Information Officer. Diane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.